From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, February 2nd, 2010. Each week, this podcast examines news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
This week, the world was a Twitter with news related to geocoded tweets and how they can be useful to those involved in emergency response, the media, and business. We'll have a look at what's being done and what might be done with the spatial database of tweets after a word from our sponsor.
Develop and deploy web applications with ESRI web mapping APIs to integrate online maps and GIS tasks. For more information, visit www.esri.com/mapping APIs.
Now we want to look at three different uses of the growing database of geocoded tweets, and they sort of popped up in three different corners this week. First off, ESRI offered a demo from its developer network team showing how to add tweets to ArcGIS Explorer and how to take advantage of those. Over on CNN, John King sampled tweets from across the United States to gauge response to President Obama's State of the Union address. And more than one organization is pondering how to use the new local trending topics tool on Twitter to support local businesses. So before we jump into that, let's just get some numbers on Twitter. Twitter users, the current number is about 75 million. But you got to take that with a grain of salt, because how many of them are actually active? According to stats from RJ Metrics, only 17% of those 75 million actually sent out a tweet last month. So some percentage of that 75 million are something like active, if one tweet a month is considered active. Now, the other half of the equation is how many of those registered users are actually taking advantage of the new geolocation API. Now, remember, that API is not, you can't actually take advantage of it from the website. You actually have to use an application that has that built into it. So, Simos tracked some folks in mid-January for 2 days on a Monday and a Tuesday. And when they ran the numbers, they found that just 0.23% of them had been tagged with location data using that API. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody else's tweets don't have some associated location, but it would be, in that case, the location that you attach to your account. So my tweeting location always says Somerville, Massachusetts, although, of course, I'm not always in Somerville, Massachusetts. Alan Laframboise from ESRI put together this very nice video to show how social media can be used in ArcGIS Explorer and how you can then take those maps that you've made within ArcGIS Explorer onto ArcGIS Online. And the most interesting thing for me comes back to that where did the location come from question. And he made the point, as he was showing the maps, that some tweets are geocoded and others are geotagged. And I think that's really important. And if I understand correctly from his presentation, the tweets that are geocoded takes the location from your profile and does its best job of locating it. The ones that are geotagged actually have that lat long information coming in through the API, and those are actually put at that lat long. So depending on how you look at it, the geotagged ones are something like more accurate or more timely than those that come from just your status location. I think the strong point was that it shows that you can, in fact, grab this information and put it up on a map and then click around and then see the text of the tweets tagged to a particular location. What wasn't there was, okay, what do you do with all this information once you get it onto the map? And that's, I think, the challenging part of, really, these tweets are just another database, and we have to figure out how to take advantage of them.
So then you bring up two different things here, right? One is geotag, one is geocoded, and how many people know how to do what and what the relevance are of those individual tweets. If you look at what's being done with some of the APIs out there, not the least of which is ArcGIS Explorer, there's no way to cull the data. There would have to be some way to understand what each of those tweets is focused on, right?
When you say call, you mean query?
Filter, yeah. Query, understand what the nature is of those individual tweets, other than the demographic itself, right? How many tweets in a particular area, essentially the density of tweets. I guess that's what we're getting at, first of all, is this one segment of the population using Twitter to do whatever they want to do. Now, in a very basic sense, we know kind of the population of tweets in any given area.
Right, and then you come back to this really important idea that we keep coming back to in geospatial, especially lately, of authoritative data. Well, we also want to look for authoritative tweets. You can make up any, you can say anything you want on Twitter, but it's very different if you're somebody representing the United Nations. It makes a difference who you are, you know, how valuable your information is, and it may even reflect on how much faith people put into the location that you're at, depending on who you are individually.
Right, and there's no way to filter that, which is what my point was, is that and even the reference that you cited there about this tracking for a few days, there was very little activity, right? And so you have the case of density, and they have the case of authority. And so it just seems like right now we're still experimenting with Twitter and the usability of it at this point. And I think you're going to get to some other examples that point to more usability.
Right, and I think we're dealing with Twitter in the same way, in so many ways. The database of tweets is very much like the internet. There's a lot of stuff out there. Some of it's really good and useful, and some of it isn't. And your job as a user of either of those data sets is to filter down and get to the good stuff, the authoritative content. Let's move over now to CNN, where John King cranked up the magic wall after the State of the Union address to visualize the responses based on tweets. And the overall map, based on some technology from a partner of CNN's, allowed them to make a color-coded map, blue and red, based on blue states were sort of positive, red states were negative about the State of the Union. And then as you zoomed in, you could get more detail, and there were these nice pie charts for each state of what percentage was positive and what was negative. And CNN was really good in that they kept talking about how many tweets they analyzed to do this analysis, which ended up being about 190,000.
Yeah, fascinating way, because there are a number of things that came out of that, which was, one, they had to filter the tweets to understand what was a positive comment, what was a negative comment, and then they went to the geocoded level, which was another fascinating thing, and what it said to me was, whereas before you might have a focus group to do this kind of a polling, where now you're polling in real time across the country. And geographically, that's a really, really interesting piece of information. And instead of doing overnight polling, you know, they used to do overnight polling all the time. Opinion research was the big one that people thought of as the authority. Well, now we're doing real-time updates of polls, and I assume they're going to make it some way to make it statistically valid, but they've done their best to essentially conduct a poll, not a true market, you know, research study. But still, fascinating results, and to be able to map them, to be able to see what percentage is positive, negative, gives people real-time information.
Yeah, and I think we have to be careful about using the word poll, because these tweets were not requested. It was just the general chatter on the in the Twitter sphere during and after the State of the Union, as I understand it.
And so that's a good point, is it's not a requested poll. It's kind of...
It's not a poll at all.
Right. Well, it's eavesdropping on the populace, right?
It's eavesdropping on a subset of the populace.
Right.
The populace
right.
that uses Twitter, which stats tell us tends to skew older. I think it tends to skew male. So it's not anything like representative, but it's a great. Again, it's a great geocoded database. And again, you know how well is geocoded? You know, we're still figuring out, but very valuable. I think people were very interested in taking a look at what people were saying. And both the John King example and the ESRI example, one of the really important things that both of those presenters, if you will, did was they clicked on individual tweets, so you got a sample of what kinds of things people were saying. And I think that can be very valuable when you start aggregating data in this way. That you get down to some examples. And John King was very good about, here's an example of a positive, here's an example of a negative.
Once again, I think to show live examples, what people are saying, CNN, like I said before, used to do those focus groups in the audience to try to get people's reaction. I think this, again, culls from such a broader area that It just presents some very interesting data points.
Right, and the real-timeness of it is incredibly interesting. I mean, I'm sitting here in Massachusetts where we've been having this argument for the past week or two over whether or not there were exit polls after Scott Brown won the election for the seat of Ted Kennedy, and there were no exit polls. So everybody's guessing about what people were thinking, and maybe they can go back and grab a swath of tweets and try to understand that from the geography of Massachusetts, for example. Let's move on now to business uses of Twitter and these geocoded tweets. Twitter upped the ante on its trending topics tool, and the trending topics is basically a list of the top 10 things that people are talking about on Twitter. And that being a worldwide sample, you know, so for example, when Michael Jackson died, everybody was talking about Michael Jackson. But now they're breaking it out geographically. So you can get trending topics for now sort of broad areas, cities, and the idea is that this is actually going to get filtered down even tighter. And that makes it very exciting for some to think that we can take advantage of that sense of what's being talked about to help businesses sell more products and services. And one company called Twit Traffic Pro, which not surprisingly is a company that helps market brands via Twitter, put out a press release this week noting how valuable this tool would be to local businesses. The idea being that you could take advantage of the local situation, the local topic of discussion. And I read the press release and I was waiting for the example. You know, give me a sense of what kind of thing you might do if you're the local hardware store with this information. And I couldn't find that example. So I'm going to turn to you and say, do you have an example?
Well, no, but I think it's a good point. It assumes that somebody is listening to the tweets, right? And if I'm that local business owner and I want to, you know, call information from what is being said out there, I have to be listening for a specific subset of the discussion. And then I have to be targeted to that particular discussion in a specific area. And there's so many assumptions, and not that it isn't useful, but there's a few assumptions that have to be done, which is you got to appoint an employee to be listening to the traffic on Twitter. And then you have to know what to do with it. And how you react to local information is obviously the key to what you want, but people's marketing programs in a local business are so limited and they're more longer term, right? If I know that I want to market something, it's probably going to take me at least a week to get an ad in a newspaper, and I just was left wondering, how am I going to use this information? It's useful, but I don't know how to use it right now.
Right, and I think what this company really wants to do is it wants to be your eyes and ears, if you will, on Twitter and help you find those key bits of information and then help you with campaigns to take advantage of it. Now, you made the interesting comment of, well, it would take me a week to put an ad in the paper. Absolutely true. How long would it take you to write a tweet?
Right, right.
Yeah, let's stay in that environment and get figure out how to participate. And I think the closest thing that I can think of are sort of promotions and deals sort of related to things like the two big things we have here in New England are promotions related to our sports teams and promotions related to our weather. So there's often a, if the Patriots do X or Y, well, this year they're not doing anything in X or Y, then you get a free taco or whatever. And the other things are, if it snows this many inches on thus and such a day, everybody gets a year of car financing payments, right? So those are, to me, are as local as you're going to get. But as you point out, those take some planning, and you have to get the people to buy the stuff and then wait for the date of whatever's going to happen, and then you can react afterwards.
Well, I'll give you a local example down here, which is we don't deal with weather very well, particularly of the freezing kind. And last week we had a school closing because there was the threat of icing conditions. And the movement of the populace is pick up your kids at school and then you drive to the grocery store because people think they're going to be snowed in. And so if I am truly tuned into the Twitter sphere locally, I'm going to put in a discount coupon for bread or milk or cheese and have you come to the local Super Target versus the local Super Kroger and draw my clients in, and in particular if that's very close to the school.
Okay, so how is Twitter or local trends going to help you with that?
I think it's, as I said, you're going to have to be listening, and somebody's going to have to be broadcasting those types of things. I think we're assuming that Twitter is going to be like your radio and that you're always going to be tuned in, and I don't know if that's the case right now. I just think we're in such an early stage that it's a broadcast medium that hasn't been fully matured. Let's put it that way.
And I think, to use the analogy, back in the day, I think I heard of these things at the very beginning of my career. The company I worked for engaged a clipping service. Remember those?
Right, sure, sure.
Okay, so a clipping service is basically, and I guess this was a good job at the time, you would read the physical newspapers and magazines, and you would clip out, literally, any article that referenced that business. And then at the end of the week or the month, the business would receive a little packet in the mail with all of their clippings.
Right. I used to get those packets. Yeah.
Okay. So now we need maybe a similar service for Twitter. And there are some out there, to be sure. But now we've got to not only collect this stuff, but we've got to figure out what it means and then how to react to it in Twitter speed.
And I can easily see this coming down to, as I said, a broadcast medium that needs to be matured. And there would be nothing out of the realm of possibility that said that somebody out there is going to have a business model that's going to feed these tweets or feed a cache of information regarding tweets to an in-vehicle system, which tells you that, hey, a tweet came in from Super Target about this deal that maybe you want to take advantage of. Again, I think the mediums are crossing, right? And somehow we haven't been able to find a way to aggregate the information other than listening to CNN, who's aggregating it for us.
Right, and that's a great example. That's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, ESRI, would like you to know that Mapping Forestry is a new book from the ESRI Press, and it looks at the ways GIS technology is being used to better support forestry and land management decisions. The book provides firsthand reports from forestry professionals on their use of GIS to manage commercial operations and promote sustainable stewardship. For more information, visit www.esri.com/ESRI Press. If you'd like to contact us about today's podcast, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com, or you can leave a comment at Directions Magazine or All Points Blog. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.